So we're reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Reading from chapter 2, text 26. Atha chayanam nicha jatam. Atha chayanam nicha jatam. Chapter 2, text 26. Atha chayanam nicha janam. Nicham ba manise mritam. Nicham cha manise mritam. Nicham ba manise mritam. Tatapi tvam mahabaho. Tatapi tvam mahabaho. Nainam sochittamarhasi. Nainam sochittamarhasi. Atha chayanam nicha jatam. Nicham va manyase mritam. Tatapi tvam mahabaho. Nainam shochittam arhasi. Atha chayanam nicha jatam. Nicham va manyase mritam. Tatapi tvam mahabaho. Nainam shochittam arhasi. Atha chayanam nicha jatam. Nicham va manyase mritam. Tatapi tvam mahabaho. Nainam shochittam arhasi. Atha chayanam nicha jatam. Nicham va manyase mritam. Tatapi tvam mahabaho. Nainam shochittam arhasi. Atha, if, however, cha, also, enam, this soul, nicha jatam, always born, nicham, forever, va, either, manyase, you so think, mritam, dead, atha api, still, tvam, you, mahabaho, O mighty armed one, na, never, enam, about the soul, shochitum, to lament, arhasi, deserve. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. If, however, you think that the soul, or the symptoms of life, is always born and dies forever, you still have no reason to lament, O mighty armed. Purport. Please repeat. If, however, you think that the soul, or the symptoms of life, is always born and dies forever, you still have no reason to lament, O mighty armed. Purport. There is always a class of philosophers almost akin to the Buddhists who do not believe in the separate existence of the soul beyond the body. When Lord Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, it appears that such philosophers existed, And they were known as the Lokaya, Lokaya Tikas, and Vaibhashikas. Such philosophers maintain that life symptoms take place at a certain mature condition of material combination. The modern material scientist and materialistic philosophers also think similarly. According to them, the body is a combination of physical elements, and at a certain stage, the life symptoms develop by interaction of the physical and chemical elements. The science of anthropology is based on this philosophy. Currently, many pseudo-religions, now becoming fashionable in America, are also adhering to this philosophy, as well as to the nihilistic, non-devotional Buddhist sects. Even if Arjuna did not believe in the existence of the soul, as in the Vaibhashika philosophy, there would still have been no cause for lamentation. No one laments the loss of a certain bulk of chemicals and stops discharging his prescribed duty. On the other hand, in modern science and scientific warfare, so many tons of chemicals are wasted for achieving victory over the enemy. According to the Vaibhashika philosophy, the so-called soul or Atma vanishes, along with the deterioration of the body. So in any case, whether Arjuna accepted the Vedic conclusion that there is an atomic soul, or he did not believe in the existence of the soul, he had no reason to lament. According to this theory, since there are so many living entities generating out of matter at every moment, and so many of them are being vanquished at every moment, there is no need to grieve for such incidents. If there were no rebirth for the soul, Arjuna had no reason to be afraid of being affected by sinful reactions due to his killing his grandfather and his teacher. But at the same time, Krishna sarcastically addressed Arjuna as Mahabaho, mighty armed, because he, at least, did not accept the theory of Vaibhashika, of the Vaibhashikas, which leaves aside the Vedic wisdom. As a Kshatriya, Arjuna belonged to the Vedic culture, and it behooved him to continue to follow its principles. Om Agyanatim Randasya Gyananjala Shalakaya Chakshulam Militam Nena Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Taitanya Manobistam Svabhitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru and Vaisnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vidamtam Sachivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karna Sindhu Dinabandho Jagadpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Rishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripasandhubhi Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadata Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So what's happening is they're on the battlefield and they're just about to start the battle, and Arjuna's giving all these reasons why he should not fight. And one of the reasons he gives is that he will get sinful reactions by killing his grandfather and his teacher. And another one is that he's crying about it. He's lamenting. He's saying, how could I be happy if I kill all my relatives? So what he gave for five different reasons for not fighting, And what Krishna's doing is he's going through all these five reasons and he's defeating each reason. So now he's telling him why he has no reason to lament. First of all, he's telling that the soul is not going to die. From verse 12, he's explaining the soul will always exist. We're always individuals. The body will go, but the soul is not going to die. And now, and he's been giving some different qualities of the soul, that is invisible, you can't be burned, can't be dried, can't be cut, all different qualities. And now this verse is saying, and even if you think that the soul also dies, still you have no reason to lament. So one of the reasons that he's saying is, supposing that Arjuna would believe that there's no soul, so then he won't be getting any sinful reactions. Then who's going to get the sinful reactions? He can only get sinful reaction if there is a soul. There are some people who don't believe that the soul is eternal. I was talking to one Christian and he was saying that when the person is born, the baby is born, God breathes the life of air, the air of life into the child, and he lives. Then when the person dies, God takes away the life. So in this way, he was not believing that there is an eternal soul. Now, some people think that the embryo gets a soul when it's 5 months old and starts moving. Some people think that the person is only alive when it's born and starts to breathe. And some people think that it's right from conception that the baby is a baby. The Catholics, they believe that it's a baby right from conception. But some other people, they say, oh, well, you can still have abortion up to 5 months because then it's not a baby yet until it starts moving. When it starts moving, then there's life in it. That's what they say. And some people say when it's born, then it's a baby. What? Now, about 5 months, the baby starts moving in the belly. Then they say, oh, now it's a real baby. When it's completely formed, after 5 months, all it does is it gets bigger. It's got everything. Everything's working. But there are these certain kinds of Buddhists and these philosophers who were called Vaibhashikas. They don't believe in an eternal soul. They believe that there is something, but it's born when the body is born and dies when the body dies. So if that would be true, there would be no one to have the karma for all the actions and reactions. When I was younger, when I was brought up Catholic, I was thinking, yes, there's a soul. They taught that at church. But I was thinking, I am a body and I have a soul. And then only when I joined ISKCON, I learned it's the other way around. No, I am a soul and I have a body. And then things started to make sense. I had some tourists today on the tour program, and then I was thinking, we were talking about the soul, and I was thinking, well, if the soul is eternal, some people believe in reincarnation, that we come back, but most people don't think, so where was the soul before I was born? Supposing there's a Christian who thinks after death, I want to go to heaven because, go back to God. My parents are saying after they die, they want to go back to heaven, back to God. So they believe that something lives on, the soul. But they never question, so where was this soul before I was born? Just they come from God for one life and then go back. So how do they explain all the different levels of prosperity and the ways of the Lord are inconceivable. So some people just have bad luck. So it means he's not fair. Before I was in ISKCON, I used to think, it's why is it that one child is born in a poor family and one child is born in a rich family? One child gets war his whole childhood, and another gets peace his whole childhood. He gets lovely time, and one child is get horrible time. Why is it? Before I knew about the laws of karma, I couldn't explain it. This one person just has all the bad luck, and one person just gets all the good luck. Now it is logical. Once Prabhupada's explained, everything you do that's good, you get some good reaction. What you do bad, you get some bad reaction. And now everything is more peaceful. Like, if supposing out there, there are all kinds of things going on. Supposing there's a criminal who does a crime, then he goes to the court, and they either give him a too light sentence or they release him because they can't prove it. Occasionally the police can't prove that the guy has done it, the crime. So he like gets off the hook, even though he's done something really bad. And then the person who is on the receiving end is like feeling really bad that this guy didn't get his punishment, or he got a really light sentence. But the person doesn't have to feel bad, because God is fair. If the guy gets no punishment or not enough, he'll make some arrangements so he gets some more, either in this life or in the next life. Like that one devotee from Belgium that was distributing books, and he got shot. He was outside a jeweler's shop that was getting robbed. And in the trying to catch the robbers, he got shot. And the police couldn't prove that the guy had shot him, so they couldn't put him in prison for it. So one of the robbers they got, and the other one they couldn't prove it. So didn't get a prison sentence. But of course Krishna has seen that, so he'll get some punishment later, either in this life or the next life. So we don't have to worry that, take the law into our own hands. And some people do that, take the law into their own hands, take revenge, get him back for whatever it was he does. The Italians, certain areas of mafia, they have like their own system. If one person from our family gets killed, we will kill one person from their family. And then if the other family has the same philosophy, they just end up killing each man until there are none left. I remember reading in the newspapers there was one such feud in Italy, and they killed the last male member of the other family. Then there was no men left in the family. It was some boy that they had. Instead of trusting that, yeah? Yes, that's a nice explanation, that the subtle body is the one that causes that does the crime. And so it's, even if you're in another body, it's the same person, but in another body. What's that, the verse about the aroma, that you carry the conceptions of life to the next body? About the aroma, what's that one? In the back of the Bhagavad Gita, there's an index, and one of the sections is analogies. Aroma, 722. Yeah, got it. Okay, so it's 15.8. It's in the index. The analogies that are in the verses, they're in the index under analogies. Yeah, if you look in the index, the general index, under analogies, there's a whole list of analogies. Yeah, and the analogies that are in the purport are not indexed. They're the ones in the verses. They're the one that Krishna gives. Krishna gives all those analogies. There's quite a few, huh? Air and living entity, aromas and conceptions of life, banyan tree and material world. There's a whole column of whole page long column of analogies that Krishna gives. So it's 15.8. Shariram yadavapnoti yachapi yud gramatishvara grihadvani samyat grihidvaitani samyati vayogandani va shayat. The living entity in the material world carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another, as the air carries aromas. Thus he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. So what he does is he takes the subtle body, which is mind, intelligence and false ego, that goes with the soul to the next body. So if you don't get your mind under control in this life, it's going to go with you. You don't get rid of it. Occasionally people kill themselves because they are suffering. Occasionally it happens that someone kills the body because they're suffering. But because the mind goes with them, they don't get rid of the suffering. They only get rid of the body. Sometimes, if the body's the cause of the suffering, then that would be different. But if the mind is the cause of the suffering, if you're suffering some emotion or mental disease or fear, that's all in the mind, then it will go with you. It won't help the situation by killing the body, because you can't kill the subtle body. The subtle body only leaves you when you go back to the spiritual world. So I read from the purport from 15.8. At the time of death, the consciousness that he has created will carry him on to the next type of body. If he has made his consciousness like that of a cat or a dog, he is sure to change to a cat's or dog's body. And if he has fixed his consciousness on godly qualities, he will change into the form of a demigod. And if he is in Krishna consciousness, he will be transferred to Krishna Loka in the spiritual world and will associate with Krishna. And further on in the purport, it is stated here that the subtle body, which carries the conceptions of the next body, develops in another body in the next life. So everything we do now, everything we think, everything we experience, that's developing, making our next body. Either we get a spiritual body or a material one, but that's being created throughout life, and the sum total of all the things we think and believe, and that's accumulates at the end of life to make the next body. Like in chapter 8.6. Yam yam va pismaran bhavam chachatyante kaleparam sam samavaiti kaunteya sadatad bhava bhavita. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, O son of Kunti, that state he will attain without fail. Purport. The process of changing one's nature at the critical moment of death is here explained. A person who at the end of his life quits his body thinking of Krishna attains the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord, but that is not true of a person who thinks of something other than Krishna. Further on it says, one's thoughts during the course of one's life accumulate to influence one's thoughts at the moment of death. So this life creates one's next life. This is why we shouldn't look at bad things. We shouldn't look at horrible things on the television and read about horrible things in the newspaper, because that will also make an impression on us, on our mind. And we shouldn't hear bad things, because that also makes an impression. All of our thoughts all get collect together, and that'll make conceptions of life, consciousness, and impressions. I was thinking that Maharaj Pandu had some bad luck, that he was born from such a great sage. His biological father was Vyasadev, but how did he die? Remember? Yeah, Pandu, yeah. He got cursed. If you have sex with your wife, you'll die. So in intimate embrace with his wife, he left his body. But isn't that bad luck? He gets such a good birth and then he... Yeah, what can he do? He was cursed. So it's not... There are two things that are really important: good birth and accepting a spiritual birth in a good family, and accepting a spiritual master, accepting the instruction of a spiritual master. So, if you only have a birth in a good family, it might not be enough. So, the other point that Prabhupada's making. So, we're back to 226. The other point that Prabhupada was making in the purport was. About the scientists, the modern scientists, what they say is that the body is a combination of physical elements, and at a certain stage, life symptoms develop. So they say all these chemicals, that they join together and they get mixed up together, and then at some stage, some life starts to form, in one or two of these cells start to produce some life, and from that all the evolution comes. And the scientists are very clever, so they could probably, if you would take an ant, they could probably tell you the exact chemical combination of the ant. How many micrograms of this chemical? How many micrograms of that chemical? So you've got oxygen, carbon, hydrogen, and nitrogen. They're the four main ones. If you would give them the exact amount they need, still they couldn't make an ant that moves. There was one of Prabhupada's disciples was at university, and the teacher, the professor, was saying something like this: life is a combination of this, 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 and this chemical. And so then the student asked, if I give you these chemicals, could you produce life? But they haven't done it yet. Sometimes they say, oh, Prabhupada's wrote, there's this nice book called Life Comes from Life. And what it is a series of morning walks on the beach. Let me see which beach it is. It was Los Angeles. And so he went on these morning walks with his disciples, and they were tape recording the conversations. Venice Beach, ah. And one of the disciples was Swarup Damodar Maharaj, who was a scientist. And they were talking to Prabhupada and giving all the counter arguments, saying what the scientists said, and Prabhupada would defeat all their arguments. So they would say, we can make life. We haven't done it yet, but we're working on it. But we will be able to. And Prabhupada compares it to a post-dated check. If you were to buy something and you were to write a check, in those days they would write checks, now you just pin it in. But if you would write a check with a date in the future, then people won't accept it. Yes, I'll buy this car, I'll pay you in 10 years' time. Who's going to accept such a check? So the scientists say, we're working on it. What they can do is they can take a cell that's living and produce something. But they can't take something that's not living. Like if you were to take a car, you could take it completely to pieces and put it back together and it would work. You'd be able to drive it. But if you were to take a cat and you take him completely to pieces and put him back together, it won't work anymore. You can't get him to do anything. You won't do anything anymore. Even if you have the same pieces, you can't put them back together. Yes, with a car, it will work. But if it's take a cat, then you put him back together, it doesn't work. I was working in a hospital when I was young, and we had ambulance. I was working in the accident and emergency department. The ambulance pulls up outside the door, flashing the lights. Nee, 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 nee. That the person comes in on the trolley, and they're doing the heart massage. So we bring them in, and they're putting all tubes and injections. And they couldn't get the life back into the lady, young lady. They couldn't get the life back in. Asthma attack, student, teenager. And they couldn't get it back in. Or the most modern hospital in Oxford, most modern hospital in the UK, most, you know, was new at that time. The Oxford Hospital was new. We work in its top hospital, best doctors. They still couldn't get the life back in. Then later we found out she was only 17, when the police found out who she was. But the scientists are saying that they can create life. They're saying life comes from matter. But if you have you've got to have the right conditions. When the world was made, they had different conditions. And there are some people who believe these scientists. So what they do is they let the bodies get put in a fridge, and they keep them in the fridge until the scientists discover how to get the life back into the body. So what they do is they freeze in a deep freeze these broken, sick, ill, old bodies, which are broken, and they freeze them in because they would even prefer that body to nobody. No. So the person dies, and the relatives freeze them. There are places in America you can, as long as the money's there, they keep them in the fridge in a special cold temperature until the scientists discover how to get the life back into the body. No. They also have people. They do it to people who are alive. You can't freeze live people. Anyway, that there are really places that you can freeze bodies. In America, you can get a relative put in there in cold storage until the scientists discover how to get the life back in. And as long as the money's there, they'll keep it for you. They'd probably have a generator. But there are people who actually believe these scientists, and they would even want to live in this body. Your body dies only when it's broken, when it's diseased, or when it's too old. But still they prefer to live in that kind of body. One lady we were looking after was 104. But when it came the time for her to leave her body, she was fighting and fighting against it to stay in that 104-year-old body. No, they don't enjoy life. There's the suffering. How can you enjoy life in a very, very old, sick body? If you get that old, all your friends have died, your husband's died, your best friend's died, even probably your children have died. But still they want to stay in that body. She couldn't even eat properly. She had to have a tube. But still they want to stay in that body rather than die. Because they don't know that there's a soul and they've got a next life. And that there is even a nicer place to go than coming back here. that even there's a spiritual world. One tourist I had, I was saying that Krishna, the picture of Krishna in the next room, in the blue room, I said that his body looks like a body of a man, but it's spiritual. Never dies, never gets sick, never gets old. And he said, I want a body like that. So I said, okay. But that only ever happened once, that someone said, I want a body like that. So that's all that I was planning to say. Has anyone got any... We were talking about life comes from life. Anyone else? Yes? They take the mind with them. Euthanasia, yeah. So we suffer pain because physical pain because we identify with the body. But I would also say that in your next body, you're allocated so much suffering, and if you try to cut it short, you'll still get it in the next body. Yeah. Yes, that's true, yes. Anything else? So we'll stop now. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.